the fucking Mad Max trailer was amazing. I am a fan of the original movies, though, so, or specifically Road Warrior.
Yeah, it was basically a Road Warrior. That was a trailer for Road Warrior, if you ask me.
Honestly, right? Like, on roids.
Yeah. Hemorrhoids.
I like it.
I like you so much, I would bite the hemorrhoids off of your hole.
Oh, wow. Stop. I might take you up on that, because that way I wouldn't have to be sitting on this donut anymore.
There you go. I want you to sit on I want you to sit on the donut while I try and blow it up. Be like you get in a car getting jacked up. It'll be fun.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get one of those wicker seats like in Casino Royale. We're going to cut out the bottom of it. I'm gonna be sitting there just with the roids hanging out, and you're going to be like underneath bobbing for roids. Mm-hmm. Instead of bobbing down, you're going to be bobbing up.
I'll be like the gators in Temple of Doom waiting for...
Yeah.
You betrayed Steve.
Or like in Captain Hook where the crocodile's like kind of dancing on the top of the water there. Just tapping on the surface.
As soon as you said crocodiles, I immediately thought of Captain Hook over Temple of Doom. It's crazy.
That is crazy. I would have never thought that was possible. In what world would Randy Van Dyke put Capitan Hook over Indiana Jones?
Finally coming to on that Temple of Doom sucks.
It's pretty terrible.
God damn it! I get it!
It was just crap. It was terrible.
I was titillated.
I know you want to go.
No, I slept with like three girls a night and no one ever said anything.
Dude.
Oh god, you guys are disgusting.
Boring.
So boring.
That is an amazing film.
Ooh, I love me some Statham.
That's a little bit of brilliance that just came out of your mouth there, Justin. I like it.
Do you want to keep going?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, geeks of all ages, welcome back to another exciting episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm Justin Cavender, and with me as always is Amanda, David, and Randy. How the hell are you three doing today?
Good.
Radical.
Happily surviving, not getting the nerd flu.
I like it.
Yeah.
Well, it helps that we never go on the floor, really.
We went on the floor quite a bit to do some interviews, and we spent the first day and the last day on the floor a considerable amount, but we survived, and huzzah for that.
YOLO! YOLO!
When Justin and I went to the Xbox Lounge for their party on Friday night, I saw someone with a lanyard and said YOLO. I was like, oh, Justin, look.
Bastards. So, yes.
Two people are here.
I know.
How are you, Justin?
I'm fabulous. San Diego Comic-Con 2014 is officially in the books. We are done.
Hooray.
What does that mean in the books?
Huh?
What does that mean in the books, exactly?
It's documented. It is known.
Go to geeklegacy.com. You'll see everything that happened there.
Yeah, and more coverage will trickle in as the week continues. You know, trickle. We got prostate problems.
Yeah. Only as much left to trickle. We got a lot up there.
That's
like
true.
Like cold trickle.
Yeah. Rubbin is racing. Yeah, so that was exciting. San Diego Comic-Con, we were there. We lived it. It began on Wednesday, preview night, and it didn't end until Sunday afternoon. And we did a lot of drinking, did a lot of eating, a lot of walking, a lot of waiting, a lot of talking. It was intense. It was grueling. It's basically like a boot camp for geeks. A lot of action.
Yeah, maybe that's why they're spreading everything out so far. That's the only way they know that some of us geeks will get exercise. Like, oh, they got to walk from the fucking Hyatt to the Hilton. Yeah, that's like a mile. They're going to get some exercise.
That's true. It was. I think that actually had a lot to do with a little bit of breathing room on the showroom floor. Aside from Sunday and preview night, when I did get a few moments to walk on the floor on Friday and Saturday, even Thursday for that matter, it wasn't that terrible, and I think that might have had to do with all the events outside of the convention center. I think that they've expanded on that quite a bit, adding, aside from just the Hilton, where there's normally just other, you know, press events, or, you know, they have that Indigo Ballroom for other presentations. It's like their little mini Hall H, right? There was all those activities. There's the Nerd HQ, obviously. Then there's that bootleg Nerd HQ that's over in that parking lot. And then, you know, the restaurants are all themed with different TV shows. There was that Assassin's Creed obstacle course this year. Not to mention the Marriott having Nintendo presence. And then the Hyatt having the Xbox lounge. That really helped push people away from the actual showroom floor. And that was nice.
Yeah, and the wristband system for Hall H must have worked, because I don't remember ever walking by Hall H and seeing it like wrapped around the water like in years past. So, I mean, I didn't wait in Hall H. I don't know really anyone who did, so I don't know if there was any kind of hiccups with it. But as far as, you know, people wasting their time all day in line not getting in, I didn't see any of that. It looked like the Hall H line was relatively contained, so people were enjoying other things at the con.
I agree, and that's good. I like that. Not only are they not getting sick by waiting in the sun all day, they're able to enjoy themselves a little bit more.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so speaking of Hall H, that's where some of the big announcements tend to come from, where studios send in some of their lineups for later in this year and next year. And why don't we get started with some of those recaps? I think we got to see Wonder Woman's outfit, Gal Gadot rocking her... a little Amazon Queen outfit. What do you guys think of that?
Well, in a perfectly shot and framed and photoshopped and color-corrected way, it looked, to me, it looked great. But, I mean, it's easy to make a still look amazing. The costume itself looked pretty, you know, what we were expecting. But I thought it looked just, I thought it looked fine. I mean, I'm not, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever until I see it move. But looked like something straight out of 300. That's Zack Snyder's wheelhouse.
No, there you go. Amanda.
Actually, now that you mentioned 300, maybe that's what's bothering me about it. It's so, they could have done so much, and that's what they came up with.
Do you think it's too bland, or do you want to see more color? What's the problem? What do you have a problem with this outfit?
That they didn't use their imaginations at all. They just straight up translated... like the skimpy Wonder Woman costume into some sort of armor. She looks like Xena, actually, which is so unoriginal. They could have
both Amazons.
Yeah. I don't know.
Would you prefer like the red, that, white, and blue look?
No, that would have been even worse. Cause they wouldn't. That would have been even less attempt at trying.
But
I don't know. Just like design something, like. Give your costume designer something more to do. I just feel like someone just...
Don't you think people would have lost their shit if they would have done a radical redesign on Wonder Woman? Like, it would have been like, Wonder Woman's finally on screen and now she doesn't even look like Wonder Woman? They think there would have been like enormous backlash?
I don't know. I didn't think about that. I think comic book readers are a little crazy in the head anyway with their canon and continuity and whatever, but I mean,
it kind of has like this copper tone to it. You know, it looks kind of reddish, orangey color. Oh, I mean, as opposed to the red, white, and blue. I mean, you can see her belt, which would normally be like yellow or something. You know, the big old W.
Mm-hmm.
The Wonder Woman. But yeah, I think you're right with the. Yeah, I think you're right with the 300. That's actually pretty good. The top kind of has like that little. Is that a Wonder Woman logo at the top, too, in between her breasts? Or is that like a bird? It looks kind of like a bird.
It looks kind of like an eagle.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's okay. She's so pretty. I like looking at her. I like the boots. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I mean, it's not... I don't think it blew my mind away, but on the other hand, you know, we were all anxious to see how Gal Gadot looked in it, you know, because she's kind of a waifey kind of girl, and you know, Wonder Woman's an Amazon, so, but
I
was happy.
It looks like she's on some kind of bridge, because there's like that rebar stuff, you know, in the concrete.
Uh-huh.
And it's all kind of molten-y. Who's attacking this place? I wonder who the bad guy is.
Rumors are there's like 12 of them, so take your pick. Well, it could be Doomsday.
But I mean, who's doing all this fire damage?
Doomsday, maybe.
Maybe. Does he do fire? Doesn't he just punch? Isn't he just like a Hulk smash kind of guy?
Well, I think like Doomsday's all about like evolving. Like that's like his like his real, that's what his real power is that like he evolves and adapts to the situation. So maybe he evolved and adapted to become a fire demon.
Interesting.
Could happen.
It could happen. All right, well, let's move on. Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. Ben Affleck and, what is it, Henry Cavill showed up?
It's him.
Yeah.
For like 2 seconds.
Yeah. He's a lot taller than Mr. Affleck. In that photo, looks like he's like 4 inches, got 4 inches on Mr. Affleck. And he's not a short guy. Ben Affleck's a big dude. It's kind
of weird. It looked like neither
Affleck
one of them wanted to be there.
Or
Cavill's taller.
Cavill's taller. Okay.
But I'm saying Ben Affleck's he's actually a pretty big dude. So that's kind of weird.
They're both big dudes.
They are both big dudes, apparently.
I'm sure neither one of them wanted to be there.
They didn't get
to do anything. They just stood there. They didn't even say anything.
They didn't even announce the footage. Originally I thought that's what they came to do, and like they just came on stage when the footage was shown and then like left.
Lame.
I mean, they came all the way to San Diego to do that.
Right.
They should have gotten a fight.
Just on stage. Like Peter and the Chicken from Family Guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the way through Hall H.
I think it would have been nice if Affleck would have done a Batman voice. I think that would have been cool.
Give us a tease.
Mm-hmm. Or pretended to be Christian Bale. Or pretended to be Adam West. That would be funny, too. Whatever.
Just show up wearing the Adam West Batman costume.
Yeah. Now you're talking. On like a Segway. A bad segue. Avengers. Avengers 2, Age of Ultron. Brought all of them out on stage. Got to see some footage that's already been seen. But whatever, people waited all day to see it, so I guess that's exciting, right?
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
Yeah. I just have this feeling that anyone who's dedicated enough to spend 10 hours in line at Hall H to see their presentation is also dedicated enough to find, you know, that footage online already.
Right. Bit of a letdown.
Right. I mean, it's cool. I mean, it's always cool to see footage. And, you know, what they saw in Hall H should be better than anything they'd find online. But Marvel is always really, really good about having spectacular presentations and showing really unique footage. And, you know, they really plan their marketing around Comic-Con. Because, I mean, last year, Guardians of the Galaxy had only been filming for 7 days. But they structured the filming schedule in a way that those first 7 days was footage that could be edited into something they could show at Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to, I don't want to say cop out on this footage because it was a pretty cool scene that they showed, but it was just something that had shown the week prior in the UK. It had been all over the internet. Entertainment Weekly's Comic-Con issue that came out last week had like 6 or 7 pictures from the footage they showed. So the whole idea that Don Cheadle was there it wasn't a surprise. And it just, you know, even in the interview, the EW interview, it alluded to the fact that Steve Rogers was able to move Thor's hammer.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting.
Right.
I don't know how I feel about that. I think it's kind of cool, but I mean, if any of them are going to be able to move it, you would think it would be Hulk.
Right, and there just wasn't any, like, what-the-fuck moments. Like, last year, the Thor 2 panel, they ended with the part where Loki cuts off Thor's hand. So, like, you know, Loki cuts off Thor's hand, and it went to black, and everyone went, what the fuck did we just see?
Yeah.
To where they didn't have that this time, and so I thought they would maybe end on, like, the Hulk versus the Iron Man Hulkbuster suit, but they didn't.
Right.
Their version of the oh-my-God moment was Tony Stark waking up in space with the Avengers around him unconscious and Captain America's shield broken into 3 pieces. But we'd already seen it.
How do they breathe in space?
He's got a suit.
How do they breathe in space?
I don't know, that's their problem. Maybe not so well. They're all unconscious.
That's not an MP, that's a YP. Oh, jeez. All right, so what about Guardians of the Galaxy 2? That's exciting news, assuming that Guardians of the Galaxy 1 is going to be amazing. I think it will be, but time will tell.
Yep, all the other reviews are saying that it's the movie. Like, it's everything you wanted and more.
Perfect. I'm excited.
Yeah, should be fun.
What about the Hobbit trailer? This is a movie that was supposed to be there and back again, and that's obviously not terribly exciting, so they changed it
to... Yeah, they had to make it more exciting.
Yeah, Battle of the Five Armies. So now you got what? You got dwarves, you got elves, you got humans, you got orcs, and something else. What's the fifth army? Do we know? Do we care? Probably not.
Yeah. Know.
Dragons. Does Smaug count? Does Smaug...
Did you say men?
Yeah. I said...
Smaug is his own beast.
Yeah, I said dwarves, man, elves, orcs, maybe gobos? Are goblins involved?
I think they'd be on the side of the orcs.
Yeah. So we'll just say Smaug is his own little army. So yeah, this trailer was interesting because we got to hear Pippin sing his little song again. I remember being very emotional at that part in Return of the King. It was very sad.
Well, I always cry at that part when he starts singing.
Yeah, that's brutal.
So beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Like, John Noble's a dick.
Yeah. And he's all chewing on that food, all gross, eating that tomato and just
like spits.
Yeah. I don't like that. But yeah, so this looks good. I think some lives are going to be lost. People will die. When the dying starts, I think people are going to lose their shit. And this will be interesting. Especially since in the book, Mr. Bilbo is knocked out for the entire battle, so it's not terribly impressive. So it'll be fun to see this transferred onto screen. Yeah?
Yeah, I'm curious to see what it's going to look like. Peter Jackson's been pretty vocal that it's not... You shouldn't compare it to Helm's Deep or is it the Plantier Fields or whatever. That you shouldn't compare it to those. This is a different fight, and he's not trying to one-up himself.
I think it's Pelennor.
Methinks thou dost protest too much, yeah. Jackson.
Yeah, exactly. It was funny when he was talking about the name change, and he was like, it was always Battle of the Five Armies. And I'm like, what the fuck, I know, was it? And he's like, well, we told Warner Brothers a long time ago, and it was never going to be there and back again. And we're like, all right, Peter Jackson, you liar.
Yeah. You should call him a big fat liar.
Should have. I was going to ask a question, but I didn't.
Throw your shoe at him like that one guy did George Bush. I think he got off both shoes.
Then we'd all be banned from Comic-Con forever.
Oh, yeah, you're wearing your big old Geek Legacy shirt.
Yeah.
And my bad says Geek Legacy.
You should wear an IGN shirt.
Yeah.
Just go ape shit.
Okay. So, I don't know. I liked what I saw. That was fun. That was festive.
Yeah, the trailer was already better than the first two movies.
There you go.
It looks gorgeous. It
does. I like when Smaug breathes fire all over the town.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't think it's going to end too well for that bard, dude. Evans better not get too comfy.
So who do you think is going to kill Smaug? Do you think it's going to be a Legolas arrow, or do you think it's going to be Bard with his little harpoon gun?
I think it's going to be Galadriel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She's going to use her little elvish light to put a stop to
him? I'm 95% certain that Peter Jackson accidentally spoiled it in both the press conference and the Hall H panel.
Really?
I think he realizes that we don't know that. Because that's not how it is in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Because he went on and on talking about how Galadriel is the strongest being in all of Middle-earth and that she has the badass moment and she's going to be the one that saves the day.
What a big ruiner.
I know. Or maybe he's trying to trick us.
Yeah. He's a trickster.
Maybe after Bilbo kills Smaug, she'll like, he's like, ha ha, fooled you.
Right.
Love you, Pete.
Let's move on. Mr. Guillermo del Toro, both of us actually had a chance to speak with that man. He's a fun guy. And he was there talking about his new movie, Crimson Peak. And that seems interesting. He was able to kind of talk about it without really telling us anything other than, you know, it's this gothic, romance-y horror movie.
Yeah.
That's what I got out of it.
that's about the gist I got out of it, and that he has the best cast in the world, and that He would have loved to have Emma Stone in the movie, but it just didn't work out.
Right.
And he didn't seem to care about that he lost Benedict Cumberbatch, though.
Yeah. He's like, fuck that guy.
I don't know. Did you get that same impression, Randy?
I don't really think I got that impression at all. He just seemed over it on both counts.
Right. Well, with Emma, he specifically said it was a scheduling thing, and then
yeah.
I don't remember the word he used when he was talking about Cumberbatch. He said That was, he said something, he's like, and I, that's really all I want to say about that one. I wish I remembered what he said.
Well, you could watch the video up on our Geek Legacy video feed on YouTube.
I guess I'll have to do that.
I'm excited.
Yeah. I don't watch scary movies, though.
Oh, well, I don't think it's going to be like rated R or anything.
Oh, really? It's going to be like a happy scary movie?
Well...
Like Haunted Mansion with Eddie Murphy?
And that's just it.
I just watched that movie last week. Don't ask why.
How dare you call that a scary movie?
It takes place in a haunted house.
Yeah.
It's scary.
It's
ghosts.
Scary bad.
It's scary to me, man. I don't like scary movies.
I liked his wife in that movie. I always thought she was really pretty. I don't remember her name. I'm sure it's nice.
It probably doesn't matter.
Crimson Peak, it looks, it seems trippy. It's going to be a pretty gruesome story. He put together some items. I got this little mini tour of the hallway of the mansion, and it was done in an interesting way to where there was a series of three of everything, so it kind of looked blurry when you looked down this hall. So all of the, basically all the architecture was just kind of overdone three times, so when you looked down the hall, it looked really blurry, but I guess it's going to have a really trippy effect on screen. And he wanted the house to kind of be its own little presence and be its own little character of sorts. And he showed all these different props from the movie that were basically telling the entire story from start to finish. But it didn't make any sense to us because obviously we haven't seen the movie. But he said that looking at this now, it's not going to make any sense to you. But when after you see the movie, this pretty much just told the story from start to finish. And it starts with all these, you know, gorgeous little... antique items, you know, like necklaces, and I think even like a letter opener, and then it gets to like some bloody gross items, like outfits with blood on them and things of that nature. So it's not going to end well for some of the characters.
Aww.
I know. So people will die. Who? We don't know.
Mia Wasikowski.
There you go.
See, I still remembered Randy.
Very good. I love watching your process, trying to remember names to specifically ask about. Just sitting there repeating it over and over and over, sometimes out loud, sometimes in your head. Sometimes I'd ask you something, and I could tell I just interrupted you while you were repeating it in your head. It was awesome.
Well, it's funny when you're doing like a press line, there's the people that are running the cameras and the people in front of the cameras, and both of them have an entirely different like way to get ready, and so you'll see all the people like getting their cameras ready and stuff like that, and you'll see all the people that are going to be interviewed just like pacing back and forth like lions, like in their little predetermined area, like just trying to remember what they were going to ask. And it's kind of a fun little environment to be in. And like you look at someone else trying to get ready, and like I'm like a nod, and they'll be like, "What's up?"
Did you see that Tarantino was at Comic-Con?
Yeah, he confirmed Hateful Eight.
Oh, that's exciting.
Maybe his next film.
After all that crap.
Yeah. Fincher was there for talking about Fight Club, too.
Fight Club Part 2?
Both. Talking about Fight Club the movie and the comic book from Dark Horse, Dark Fight Club 2. Mm-mm. Him and Chuck P., the author. Not even going to pretend.
Yeah, Chuck Palahniuk or something like that.
Better than I could do.
So, what are some of your highlights from San Diego Comic-Con?
My highlights were... about a week before Comic-Con, we got a press release for a new show on Adult Swim called Mike Tyson Mysteries, and I was instantly drawn and intrigued to this premise. It's Mike Tyson, Mike Tyson solving mysteries as Mike Tyson, and the way he solves mysteries is people send him a pigeon with a note that says help on it, and it's up to Mike Tyson, his adopted Korean stepdaughter, a pigeon played by Norm MacDonald, who used to be a person, and a 18th century Victorian ghost played by Jim Rash. And they solve mysteries in the vein of like Scooby-Doo and the A-Team and all them. And I was able to sit in on the panel, and you can see the you can see the actual sizzle reel online. It's hysterical. It is probably the show I'm most looking forward to this fall, and it's ridiculous and pathetic that I'm saying that, but it was great. And then we got to talk to Mike Tyson, and so that's obviously a thrill for me. So I have to say, Mike Tyson Mysteries, talking to Mike Tyson, and then we got to interview Guillermo del Toro, who, for any filmmaker, is kind of a dream come true. So those are my highlights.
Very good. Randy, what were some of your highlights?
Well, I actually got to do my very first on-camera interview this year, so that was kind of a highlight for me. And, of course, I did end up talking about the one thing that I talk about the most on the show, it seems like, and that is toys. So that was cool. The only exclusives that I wanted this entire con were the retro-style action figures from Funko and Super 7. I wanted this Egg Chamber playset from the original Alien movie, and then I desperately needed the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive Sloth 3¾-inch action figures from the Goonies, because that's the only one that has the correct Superman logo on his shirt, because I guess apparently the licensing wouldn't allow it to be released on their regular retail figure, but they could do it as a convention exclusive. So the other version of Sloth that's eventually going to be available does not have the cool Superman logo and is thus not movie accurate. But anyway, I digress. Toys. Toys were my highlight of the entire convention. I got all the cool exclusives that I wanted without having to wait in crazy long lines. I ended up doing most of my shopping on the last day when we did not have any interviews scheduled, and still managed to get everything I wanted to get. Could not be happier. And yeah, I mean, we did a ton of cool stuff while we were down there. All the cool parties and whatnot, and all the free food and free booze. Seriously, we could go down there the entirety of the convention and not have to pay for food if we didn't want to. So that's kind of neat. Even though we're kind of not necessarily high on the food chain, I'm not going to say we're nobody, but it's nice to be treated like somebody while you're there.
Everybody's somebody. I want to add one more hi. I took all these crazy pictures with Justin while we were there, so you can go on one of our Twitter feeds and find those. That was a fun highlight, too.
That was fun. I guess my highlights would have to be being in the same room as Adam West. Love that guy. So that was fun seeing him in person. Batman is obviously one of my favorite shows. Talked about 1,000 times on this podcast, so that was great. And then the Walking Dead zombie escape was pretty nutso. I didn't realize how out of shape I was. I mean, I always thought I was out of shape, but I felt how out of shape I was after the 30 minutes of running and screaming and just getting touched by ugly zombie folk. That was exhausting, to say the least.
But, and it's going to make a very fun video to watch. Should be up the next day or so.
Oh, there you go. I haven't seen the footage. Apparently, I say, oh my God, 10,000 times, so apologies on that. You know what's funny is I actually hate it when people say, well, again, they call a radio station and they win, they go, oh my God, I can't believe I won, blah, blah, blah. I was one of those people, and I apologize.
No, you weren't. So you had a legitimate reason for it. You were, like, running for your life, and you were tired.
Fake zombies were attacking me.
I still imagine it's scary. You go around the corner, and there's people trying to touch on you.
Yeah, being chased kind of adds its own little thrill to it. You know, not too many people like being chased. Our buddy Tim Byers, he gets violent when someone chases him. He would have been doing...
How?
He would just punch somebody. So he would be punching zombie dicks all day long if he was doing the escape. So I can't have that.
You even make a mention about punching a zombie dick on the video.
Do I?
You do.
It
makes me want to punch a zombie dick, but we were instructed not to, so I guess we got to obey the rules.
Got to have rules. Yeah, so they started off pretty nutso. You know, you get bundled into this room like you're cattle, and then they say it's a safe place, and then, of course, you get attacked, and you got to run through this 80s video with all kinds of fog, and then there's walkers right off the bat. I don't think I was ready to get started that quickly. And then you got to run up all those terrible ramps, these handicap accessible ramps to get to the top of Petco Park. And for those of you not familiar, that is a baseball stadium, which tends to be pretty high up. So it was tough, I'm not going to lie. It was my Everest. For a fat guy like me, there's really no difference between 100 feet and, you know, 10,000 feet. It's all the same at that point. You know what I mean.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm. And on top of that, I got touched like, a minute into the thing? In my defense, though, on the show, they wrestle with zombies all day long and they're not infected. This one touched my leg or my shirt or something. So, whoop-de-doo.
That arm's going to have to come off.
Yeah, exactly. I think I got touched like 3 times. But dodging, what did I say, like 2,000 zombies?
Yeah.
That's not so bad.
Well, you know, and it doesn't really end well for any of you guys running.
Yeah. It's bad.
Hmm.
Were there any studios that perhaps didn't really have a presence there, that they just missed out on this entire opportunity for Comic-Con?
Yeah, I think there was definitely some large holes in, no pun intended, in Comic-Con. Universal wasn't there at all. The only presence Universal had was to promote their legendary properties, which were, you know, As Above, So Below and Crimson Peak. But, you know, Jurassic World wasn't there. None of their other upcoming, like, monster movies were there. None of their reboots were there. Disney wasn't there at all, so there was nothing Pixar there. There was nothing Star Wars there. The only thing we had from Star Wars was Rebels, which was during an animation panel. So that was kind of surprising, especially when you take into account there is no D23 this year, and that Star Wars Celebration is until 2015. So they're obviously going to have a big press conference to announce their Star Wars news when they're ready to talk about it. It just would have been nice, you know, even if they didn't want to give out the title of the movie, you know, maybe give us some kind of tidbits or like another video from the set, you know, just something, some kind of fan service. And then finally, The Hunger Games wasn't there. Mockingjay Part 1. They had a small little presence in the back of Comic-Con where you could take your picture with like a Capitol security guard. And they debuted the trailer for Part 1, the teaser trailer, but only on Samsung tablets. The only way you could see it is if you had a Samsung tablet or you went to like a Samsung interactive experience on 10th Street outside of the actual convention. So those were kind of the three big glaring holes: Jurassic Park, Mockingjay, and Star Wars.
Stupid Mockingjay.
Yeah. And they released the trailer after Comic-Con ended, and it was just like, we didn't miss anything.
Right.
Katniss is useless. Only does she's such a strong female. She can only do what guys tell her to do, and she needs a strong man to protect her. Whole series about her like making a choice. Like, I want to make a choice. I want to make a choice. And we've seen two movies of like everyone telling her what to do.
Maybe she just takes direction very well.
Yeah, that's great. But when they're building her on as a character, like this strong, independent woman, the second coming of Ripley, you know, Ripley wouldn't have taken that shit.
But, I mean, even, like, our president has advisors that tells him what to do.
She doesn't want to be the president.
No, I'm just saying. The leader of the free world has advisors telling him what to do.
Yeah, because he's leading the free world. She's killing squirrels in District 13.
Just saying. Everyone needs a little help.
I'm just saying. I'm trying to stick up for the women out there. I'm on their side. Katniss Everdeen sucks, and cosplay does not equal consent.
Yeah. That whole thing.
Well, what about you, Justin? Was there any glaring holes that you saw that weren't being filled at Comic-Con?
You know, I don't know. My head's spinning too much at Comic-Con, so I don't really notice that sort of thing.
Did it seem underwhelming?
I think my own personal experiences outweighed the lacking content, if that makes sense.
Right, there wasn't like last year there was a lot of Marvel and then the Batman versus Superman. Like when those things were announced, like everyone in San Diego like knew about it and everyone was talking about it.
Right, there was no buzz this year. There was no, it was like maybe, did you see the Wonder Woman costume? And that was about it.
Right, and then everyone pulls out their phone and looks at it and they're like, all right, it's okay.
Moving on. Yeah, it was nuts. I guess that would have to be it. I mean, I was just kind of going online every now and again to see if there was any announcements that we had missed. You know, checking my emails for press releases on stuff, but nothing caught my eye.
Yeah. I mean, and Paramount has, you know, the Terminator movie next year, you know.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
The only thing they really brought to Comic-Con this year was Interstellar, and that was just a short presentation. And I think the only reason they put that together at the last minute was because Christopher Nolan showed up.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, but I mean, they could have done something for Terminator Genesis.
Yeah, that would have been badass. They could have had Terminators walking around. You know how many people would want to get their picture taken with a Terminator?
At least six, because, I mean, it comes out July next year, so it'll be out before next Comic-Con.
Yeah, that's stupid. I love Terminator stuff. They could have had a whole thing at, like, Dark Horse.
Yeah.
Whatever. Missed opportunity.
Maybe next year we can look forward to them pimping out Beverly Hills Cop 4.
Yeah, now we're talking. Maybe they'll be on 5 by then.
But about you, Randy, was there any holes or glaring omissions that you can think of?
Well, I mean, the only other thing that I really deeply pay attention to is any new Star Wars news, and I'm not really super excited about Rebels. I mean, it looks cool, and I'm sure it's going to be cool, but I can't get as excited about that as I would about the new movie, for example. I mean, that's really the only thing that stands out in my mind, but no big deal. I know there's going to be an onslaught of that soon enough.
Once you turn that faucet on, there's no turning it off.
Yeah. Kind of like when you really have to pee. Once you start, it really hurts to stop.
The closer you get to a toilet, like, the more you have to go.
Yeah. By the time you pull it out, it's like already kind of starting to trickle out.
Yeah. Or Universal could have talked about Fast and Furious 7. We didn't get anything from Fast and Furious 7. We could have got Seventh Son for the third Comic-Con in a row. That would have been funny.
What movie?
Seventh Son.
Oh, yeah. That movie's never coming out.
Supposedly it is.
Next year.
2015.
Yeah.
Saw it at Comic-Con 2012 and Comic-Con 2013. It is the watchdogs of the film industry.
Yeah. Anybody have anything else to add?
What, Amanda, did you have any impression as someone who wasn't there, as someone watching from home?
My impression was that no one really brought anything. Like, all the quote-unquote news that I saw and read about was just kind of half-assed. I don't know. Is there just not that much going on this year?
I think it was a lot of TV stuff. Like, I think they expected, like, the Flash, Arrow, Gotham, Constantine, like, quartet to be a bigger deal than it was. And, I mean, maybe it's just because I'm more a movie guy than a TV guy. It didn't excite me as much to where, you know, you're probably more a TV guy. So I didn't know if maybe that stuff interested you more. Like, all this stuff coming out of Arrow, like the Ra's al Ghul stuff and all that nonsense.
But even that was just so minor. I mean, like, part of the stuff that they quote-unquote revealed was just, like, the WB and DC versions of the logos for those shows. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even the logos for the actual show. It was the WB and the DC logos.
Right.
I'm like, why do I want to see this? I don't give a crap.
It hurts that Ra's al Ghul isn't cast. They haven't cast Ra's al Ghul, but they had, like, they added him to the trailer, the one they just released the trailer, and they added the Ra's al Ghul stuff at the end from Comic-Con, and it's just like you see like his body.
Oh, you know, is that? Oh, okay, I didn't even realize he hadn't been cast. Okay, so yeah, that's why they were being so coy with the...
Yeah, he hasn't been cast yet.
Okay.
But I guess he's hinted at it season two. I'm not done with season two, so I wouldn't...
I don't watch Arrow.
Or Ra's al Ghul? He's never made an appearance. His daughter's in it.
Right, at least the press release had said something like that they've been hinting about him during season two, but
yeah.
Did you want to talk about the Deadpool stuff?
Sure.
If anyone can find it online later on, since it keeps getting pulled as fast as it gets posted.
It's kind of fun. So what were we looking at? Test footage for a Deadpool motion picture show, standalone Deadpool movie, correct?
Correct.
And in this footage, we see Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool. He's kind of messing around on a rooftop, and then he attacks some gunmen in a SUV. And then it shows him kick their butts in his funny little way.
That's funny. Sorry, Trevor, there's no way to break this to you. I'm pregnant.
Right.
Made me laugh.
Deadpool's kind of one of those obnoxious anti-hero types.
Right. But yeah, I mean, it was fun. I think everyone on the internet's all up in arms and excited about this movie, and I think it could definitely be a successful R-rated superhero movie, assuming they can keep the cost down, and, you know, Ryan Reynolds isn't demanding, you know, $30 million like he used to. You could probably get him for an affordable rate, especially if he's passionate about the project, which he seems to be, and then just get some, you know, decent supporting cast, and you could probably do this movie for like $30 to $45 million, and that way it's not as big a gamble, and if it's a success, you can start a franchise.
There you go.
And Fox owns Deadpool, not Marvel, so we'll see how that works.
Oh. How do we feel about that?
I mean, they did pretty good with Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
That was another thing. We got no Fantastic Four update from Fox this year. People thought I think a lot of people thought that they would assemble the cast and or show footage from the film. And they did neither.
Who reads Fantastic Four? That comic is boring as fuck, man.
I think they're canceling it.
Good. It's stupid.
Is your Toby Cabell, the guy who did who's not Caesar in Koba?
Yeah.
And Donald Clinton, yeah. He's the guy who did the motion capture for him. He's in it. Kate Mara from House of Cards, she's going to be Sue Storm. Michael B. Jordan from Friday Night Lights is going to be Human Torch, even though he's African American. Jamie Bell's going to be in it. So, yeah. It's going to be good.
You think?
I think so.
Is Doctor Doom going to be their villain?
Yeah, that's good. That's who's going to. That's Toby Kebbell, the guy who plays Koba.
Oh, did you say that? I just heard you say. I didn't hear Doctor Doom. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah,
I was Doctor like, Doom. Who's it going to be? I thought he was like Thing or something.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. I may not have said.
I don't know. I might have just missed it. I blinked.
Don't blink. Sorry.
Oh yeah, was there any Doctor Who shit there?
No. Orphan Black.
Doctor Who didn't go to Comic Con.
Yeah, what's up with that? They have a whole new Doctor and they didn't go?
No.
That's kind of lame.
Maybe it's a sign.
Yeah. Doctor Who's canceled. You heard it here, folks.
Actually, you guys exclusive. You know, it's probably just that Peter Capaldi doesn't want to go to Comic Con. I mean,
so he's a pretentious ass. You heard it here, folks.
No, he's an older man. I'm sure Stephen Moffat
doesn't want to go either.
That's true. I mean, I don't want to go either. If I was a famous person who was going to be on this TV show that has millions of fans all over the world, I would not go to Comic-Con.
But you have to be like,
nope.
You have to go to promote it and make it successful. Yeah. You don't have a choice. Studio tells you to go.
I'd go and let everyone lick me.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to get really sick, Justin.
I would be in a bubble and let everybody lick the bubble. That's the same thing.
Close.
My picture with everybody. It would be free autographs. It would be fun.
Yeah, it would. Mm-hmm. If you did that, it wouldn't be fun. You only signed so many autographs.
I'd have a stamp.
Only stamp so many things.
I would bring a lot of ink. I'm prepared, Dave.
Oh, okay.
People could decide. You want your picture taken or do you want an autograph? Can't do both. But then I have to do both because I'm nice.
You're just too nice.
I am too nice. That's the problem.
Sir, you need.
I like it. All right. Anything else? Are you counting down the days for next Comic-Con? Are you ready for this?
Me? No.
Oh.
I love Comic-Con, and you know, I know sometimes we complain as, you know, jilted journalists, but you know, we go there for a slightly different reason than like most people. You know, we go to report on the events and we try to enjoy it as best we can. So if we sound jilted or negative, it's just because, you know, we're doing something different, but I totally understand the allure of Comic-Con and what it stands for. But yeah, I mean, it is a lot of work, you know, like the 3 to 4 weeks before Comic-Con is just nuts.
I didn't have to worry about it much this year.
Yeah, you did plenty.
You were the go-to guy.
I'm the dude.
You were.
I felt bad. Last year I made you the go-to guy.
That's right. I enjoyed it. But no, it's a lot of fun. I don't have any complaints. I had a blast. I did a lot of drinking, did a lot of eating. I got to be with my best friends. It was fun. We met some Swedish guy who stayed in our room. And made it all the more fun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Ninjabot and Ob and all our friends that, you know, we see, don't get to see all the time.
Yeah. And the cool thing is, while you're waiting for all these events, you meet new people, you get a lot of contacts, a lot of networking, and you know, it's great. You get to see old friends and meet new ones. It's a blast.
Yeah. Justin is the preeminent social butterfly.
Yes. That's even my superpower. Dave and I had to audition for these, the what are they called, the Awesomes or something?
Yeah, the Awesomes.
Yes, and
we went different ways.
Yeah, Dave became he auditioned to be a villain, which is funny. He was like the only person out of the thousands of people that did it that was a villain. And then I was a superhero.
Yeah. We got like, what's your superpower? To be on the Awesomes? I'm like, oh, I'll be their villain. I'm like, I'm mind control. I do things to them and have them do things to me. We were like 9 drinks in at the time.
Yeah, it was brutal. Good times. So yeah, overall, I'd rate it a success. I had a blast. Can't wait till next year. I think my next event will be PAX, and that is just a month away. So that's exciting.
Yeah,
Penny Arcade. That'll be fun.
And so far, it's you and Victor, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Felix is going too, but he hasn't gotten back to me.
Awesome. Yeah, and then Heather, Zach, and their team go to New York. Just got confirmation that Jared and his partner of choice will go to Baltimore. And, so we're going to be everywhere.
Yeah.
And friends.
I think Jess is going to something in Chicago or something. I don't know. Some horror thing. We're going to stay on the lookout for our House of Horror section on our website to kind of rebuild and rekindle the fire there. They got some really good ideas, and I think we'll have a lot of new content for all you horror fans out there.
Yeah, Nathan and Logan have been doing some fun stuff. They've been posting like the Netflix shuffle and all these cool reviews, and one of them did something how to like decorate your office and like horror themed stuff. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. So.
All right then. Anybody got anything else?
And don't forget to check out the Nonstop to Comic-Con first official trailer. We released it just in time for Comic-Con, and now it's time for all of you guys to watch and enjoy.
That's it. Thank you once again for listening to the Geek Legacy Podcast. Remember to check geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews, as well as all of our San Diego Comic-Con coverage. It's quite a bit. Subscribe to our YouTube channel to watch all of our fun interviews. Check out the Pixelated Podcast with Steven and myself, where we talk about video games. And there's the Comic Corner Podcast, hosted by Jeff and Tyler, where they review comics currently on the pull list. And remember to like us on Facebook, follow us on the Twitter there, at Geek Legacy, and you have yourself a fabulous week, and we will talk to you next Tuesday. Take care. Thank you.